Tax session number 31432, Mr. Tug Wilson, Reel 2. Now, we've gone through a typical day's routine when you're at HMS Ganji. So you've got up and you've perhaps been around up the mast.
Or through the swimming pool.
Well, tell us about a bit about the swimming pool now. I mean, did you actually have the swimming lessons? Or
no, it was in one end and out the other. That's probably to save you having a shower, actually.
So what next then?
And then it was, right. You formed up and it was all organised. You had to be in columns of threes and you went down to the cafeteria or whatever, went and had your breakfast. And
now, we look at food generally, so not meal by meal. What was the food like as far as you were concerned? I mean, you'd been used to home, I presume. What did you think of the Navy's food or the food at Ganges?
Well, it was okay. But quite often when we first got there, you probably got more at home than you did there, because you got the basic amount that you needed worked out for you, that you only had one scoop of mashed potato, one slice of meat and all that sort of thing. Not like at home where mother loaded the plate up with what she'd got, and if anybody left anything, somebody would grab it. And the food was okay. I mean, the Saturday morning, routine was you had to metal polish all the knives, forks, spoons, everything, and it was all laid out to all be inspected.
In the canteen.
In the groups you were, the divisions, they had their own areas, and then all was inspected.
Well, I'll come to the room inspections later. Yeah. So after in the morning, you've had your breakfast. This is a typical day. What happened next then?
Then you'd probably go off to lessons or whatever you were doing.
Now, what type of lessons would you have?
You did some schooling.
Education.
Education,
how did you do with that? Because you hadn't much gone for school. What did you think of the Navy taught you?
Well, it was a similar sort of thing. It was school. You did maths, English, all that sort of thing. Can't really remember, but
just basic lessons, nothing special.
Nothing special. No, it was just basic lessons. And then when you decided which branch you were going into, you went off to those classes where you learnt the Morse code, you learned how to use flags.
Now, which one did you choose?
I was a telegraphist.
Now, wouldn't they teach you your basic training first before you specialised, or did you start...
The basic training, yeah, you did. That was just...
Let's do basic first.
That was just a lot of running about, and...
What do you mean by running about? Do you mean...
Everywhere you went, it was at the double, and that sort of thing. And then everything, activities was arranged for you, where it would be boxing, football... All that sort of thing, all arranged. You played it whether you wanted to or not.
Let's talk about physical training generally. I mean, how much physical training was there in that basic training? Was there a lot?
Well,
of various types.
Well, you didn't have to do a lot of training because you ran everywhere. You was. I was fit in them days, I must admit. I wasn't when I joined, but it wasn't long before you was fit. You could run forever. Not run, well, at the double.
And what about boxing?
Well, everybody, when you joined, everybody had to... It was arranged that they'd pick somebody the same size as you, the same weight, and then you'd have to fight him for three rounds.
So that's not whether milling, this is proper boxing, not milling, as they call it.
Well, you was in one corner, he was in the other, you got your gloves on, and there was a referee, and you went and knocked seven bells of shit out of each other. You know, sort of thing, for 3 minutes. You only had to do it once or twice.
Do you like it? Or
No, I didn't like it. I didn't like that sort of thing.
What are the PT?
General PT, gym work, rope climbing, vaulting, that sort of thing.
What about assault courses or anything like that? I mean, I know they're army, but they're
No, not so much. We used to put kind of a small assault course up in the gym where over bars and... under things and all that sort of thing.
Now, what about drill? Learning to march.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've done the air training corps, but, I mean, how did you find drill?
Well, it was okay, but he used to shout at you.
Did you mind that?
Well, you didn't have to, did you? You didn't have to. Everybody got shouted at. Because when you were young, you never did anything right. It didn't matter.
And did you take to drill? I mean,
Yeah.
You weren't a penguin or anything.
No. There was one or two where they couldn't coordinate their arms. I mean, the left arm went with the left leg and all that sort of thing.
Did you understand why you had to do so much drill at the time when you were a nipper? You know.
Well, thinking about it, probably no. But everybody did it, and you had to do it, and you were on. And it was more or less the week you was practicing for Sunday, when they had the Sunday church parade and all this business, when you had to have your full uniform on and all that, and everything was brand new. And
did you like being on parade, on a big parade? I mean, some people really like it, you know, when
Oh, I didn't mind it.
So you weren't that bothered either, were
no,
you?
No, I wasn't that bothered.
What about weapons training? Because basic training usually in the Navy includes a bit of rifle work and bayonets or even. Did you do any of that?
No, not at Ganges.
What about, you were a boy, yeah.
When
what about seamanship?
You did basic seamanship.
Did you use the manual of seamanship? There's a seamanship manual, isn't it?
I wish I'd have kept mine, actually.
Now, can you tell us, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in that. I mean, what do you remember of basic seamanship training? What did you have to learn, you know? Or is it just everything?
Well, it was just everything. In that basic book, it told you about semaphore, told you about knots, it told you about using this, what do they call it, for ropes.
Splicing. I mean, knots and splicing, I mean, how far do you go into that? Because, I mean, that's...
Well, it depended. If you was going into the seaman's branch, being a seaman, you'd go in it to it intensely. But I went into communications
introduced to knots and splicing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'd do all that.
What about any boat work, rowing, cutters?
God, yeah.
Tell us about that, then.
Plenty shorts, winter shorts, long stockings, and a sports shirt. You row the boat from the quay.
Are these cutters? Or
cutters, or... Yeah, cutters. And then you'd row out into the middle of the river, and then you'd put the mast up and the sail, and then you sail around in the cold, you know.
Did you enjoy it? Some people love it. Did you like it?
It was quite... I didn't like it when it was raining and really cold, no. But you had to do it. There was no choice. You couldn't say, I don't want to do it. You couldn't say that. Everybody had to do it. It was basic seamanship. In the summer, I mean, it was quite enjoyable sailing.
What about things like boxing the compass? I mean, I think they change it. I'm not sure when they change it, but they do change from points to no, you know. I mean, did you still have to do that kind of...
Well, you touched it, basically, about the compass points and all this business. And I think, basically, you touched everything a little bit, but you only pursued certain things if you was going into that department.
Were you introduced to gunnery at all? I mean... You know,
No.
That you had to be.
We had to do parade work with a rifle, but that was all.
That's drill, really.
Yeah,
as far as
just drill. That was it.
Now, so mainly during the, as far as I can see, during the sort of first 6 weeks, it's just seamanship training, drill, and PT of various kinds. Anything else you did in that first 6 weeks before you start specialising?
No, I can't really remember.
Now, how did you get on with the other lads? Do you know what I mean? I mean, you're all boys together, but
yeah.
I mean, sometimes there's bullies, sometimes you make great.
There was none of that. There's none of that because I think we was all in the, we were all strangers. We were all in the same boat, and I wasn't. There was quite a bit of camaraderie, but whether as time went on, whether you got, you know, some people more dominant than others, I suppose you did.
Did you make any good pals amongst them? I mean, at the time. Or
You see, with the Navy, you make friends and then you're drafted and you never see them again. Oh yeah, made good friends at times, but it was only for a short period of time.
So it's for a year at a time or whatever.
So
you made friends. Now, what about the instructors? What did you think of them as instructors? Were they good at the job? Were they bullies, or were they good blokes? What were they like?
Well, in basic training, there was quite reasonable. They shouted at you when you got it, kept getting it wrong, but that was all it was.
There was no swearing, or any swearing.
Yes.
Did that bother you, or were you used to it?
Well, you got used to it after a while. But it was just... Well, I wouldn't say there was a great lot of swearing, but you never heard the F word so much as...
It's bloody, mainly.
Yeah. And all that sort of thing. Because, well, I suppose the instructors were picked because they were looking after bloody kids, really.
So they were fair? They didn't bully?
Fair. No, this... I mean, what you see on the telly now and different things with nothing like that. Now it's in the army where, you know, bullying and sergeants bullying people. And
so there was, as far as you were concerned, yeah. The instructors were all...
But when, you see, when you went to, when you left...
I'll come to that. Now, tell me, what about bull, as they call it, spit and polish?
Oh, yeah.
How would you prepare your room and your kit for was it the kit inspection you mentioned?
Yeah, you had a kit inspection.
What exactly would you have to do to get your kit and your room ready?
Well, you swept up, polished, and all that sort of thing, clean windows, and your
kit. What level? I mean, were we using bumpers and polishing them?
Oh, yeah, buffers. And then, not so much in... But we've had people come around with white gloves on and filling on wet ledges and things like that. And
what about your personal kit?
Your personal kit, you used to have cardboard. If you got your underpants, you got your name sewn in it, you put cardboard in it and you roll it, and then you had little ties on the end, so when you rolled it over, it was like a sausage, so along with your name there, and all had to be the same and all in line. And all the little bits holding it together had to be in line and everything, all that sort of thing. Your boots were polished, spit and polished. Until
tell us about the spit and polish the boots, because they don't do it now, you know.
No.
You might, but then a few others. No. How did you get your boots into the state they wanted?
Well, the thing is, the boots in those days, they were leather and hard, so you can guarantee you get blisters from the damn things. But I don't know whether you can remember old leather boots, and they had like dimples, pimples all over it. Now, if you got your polish, spit and polish, you could actually work those out, especially on the toe cap itself. And they used to be as smooth as that and shine. And I mean, you have to do this every night. Once you got it, it took a long time to get them to that state. And then if the instructor didn't like you, upset him and he stood on your toe, you had to start all over again.
Did you mind that kind of bull? I mean, you couldn't mind.
Well,
but
the thing was, you just sat there all evening. You didn't have television or nothing like that. I mean, you had cinema about once a week. But apart from that, all you did at night was polish your boots and get ready for the morning.
You didn't object to it? I mean, you just got on with it?
Well, what was the point in objecting? I mean, you was in, you couldn't get out. I think there might have been one or two did a runner, but...
The other thing is, what would you do for entertainment? You've just said there's not much to do, but did you have a canteen? And if you did, what did it offer you? I mean, you couldn't drink because you were underage.
Well,
what was your canteen?
I'll tell you how much we got money in training. Was a half a crown a week.
So what would you do with that?
Buy a couple of bars of chocolate. And if you're just learning to smoke, like most of them were, you'd buy 5 Woodbines.
Were you?
Yeah, and I persevered until I managed it, and I wish I hadn't.
So, I mean, there was no room for drinking. So, what was the canteen? Was it any use to you? Or
it wasn't a canteen where you'd sit down and go. You could buy egg chips and beans or anything like that. It was just like a shop. You go in there and buy chocolate, sweets, or whatever. You only had half a crown anyway, and that did go up to 5 shillings when you left and went over to the other side.
Were you allowed out at all?
I mean, no.
So you just stayed in. Now, so tell me. So after 6 weeks, is that when you make your choice of what you're going to do?
Yeah. You at the end of that, you you get sent over to the main establishment, and then that's when you decide what you want to do, and then you are interview type of thing.
Now tell me about the interview. I mean, how are they going to pick you for whichever trade?
Well, they just ask you general questions. See, I learnt the Morse code in the ATC, so it gave me a bit of an advantage. And I liked doing that sort of thing, communications.
So you were a natural.
So I went into that.
So what were you gonna? What were they training you as? What was it called?
Telegraphist.
Wireless telegraphist.
Yeah, wireless telegraphist.
And so they, did they start that at Chotley?
Yeah.
Tell me how they start you. Firstly, I mean, I presume they taught you, whether you learnt it or not, they taught you Morse code, I presume, again. Or
yeah, you go in and you learn the, well, I can't remember how they did. You learn the Morse code anyway. So quite a few evenings you might be sitting there with your Morse code all wrote out trying to memorise it. I can still remember it now. I can't forget it.
But did they test it? So you learnt it?
Yeah, and then you learn the Morse code. Then they start sending it to you down earphones, and you have to write.
How
and then
do they
you
do
start.
That? Are you all in a room?
Yes.
And how's it? Give us a setup.
It's like this room here, and then you've got little junction boxes.
Are you all around a big table?
Yeah, and then you plug your phones in, and then you've got your pad of paper and pencil, and then they send it very, very slowly to start with.
So the instructor
very slowly, yeah, very slowly, and then gradually it speeds up, and when you get to a certain stage you have to learn to touch type. So you don't write it, you type it at the same time. So you've got to be
so you actually have to,
you do a Pittman's typewriting course, type to music, ASDFG and all that.
Literally to music.
I mean, literally to music.
Explain that, because
the music beat. That was it.
So you're learning the two things almost at once.
Yeah.
So as the Morse is coming through.
Well, you've learned basically the Morse, and it's gradually building up. And then when you've finished writing, you've gone through the stage of writing it. You learn. You have God knows how many lessons of Pittman's typing course.
So that as it comes through, you can type it out.
And then when you listen to it, you know what one thing is. If it comes A, you press A, and that was it. And you touch type. I can still touch type now. After all these years, and I haven't got a typewriter or nothing. Well, I might be a bit rusty on it, but.
But you know the movements.
Yeah, but you could get up to quite a fast speed.
And what about sending Morse?
Yeah, that's the same sort of thing. It's a key with Morse key.
So would you practice that in the same way?
Oh yeah, and then you used to use silly things like a rhythm. So, like best bent wire. So if you send best bent wire in Morse code, it's da 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 da. See, it runs to a type of thing. That's how you used to, you know, best bent wire and all that sort of thing.
Now, how fast could you get? I mean, because the naval...
25 words a minute?
Now, this is supposed to be the fastest there are, naval...
Well, they don't do it now. Morse code's gone.
But in your day, naval signals were meant to be the best.
Oh, yeah.
As far as I understand. Yeah. People have said that there's two things. One, it's a bit... You either can do it or you can't at that speed.
Yeah.
And then it's a bit like music. Yeah. You start to hear it almost like
but
music.
But the thing is, when Morse code, you're writing it down or typing it, and the word and the word starts off, you know what the word's going to be anyway. You know what it's going to be when it starts.
Because it can't be, like on a mobile phone now, it starts telling you.
Yeah, yeah. Once you're listening, it's in there. You know what's coming next. Coming next.
Now, the other thing is, people say you can tell individual fist. Yes,
yes.
Fist, I mean.
Everybody's transmits individual. That's why, when I was in, if anybody asked your name, you never gave your name. You'd give them your name, you'd go and tell them, you'd see them and tell them your name, but you'd never do it over the air, because the Russians or whatever who was the enemy, they know your name, and they've got your, they know who you are, and they know what ship you're on. But everybody's was slightly different.
So you could tell. If you're an expert, you could tell your...
Yeah, well, people have these scopes and they'd watch it, and it's like voice print on a... Exactly the same sort of thing.
So that's Morse and typing.
Yeah.
Pittman typing.
Yeah.
What else are you learning as a telegraphist?
Well, then you go into teleprinters.
Now, people don't know what teleprinters are now.
Yeah. I mean, well, whether we've still got teleprinters. It's like... early version of an electronic typewriter that works itself. That's all it is. It's a keyboard, and you've got a roll of paper in it, and it, and if you listen to a teleprinter signal, it's and all that sort of thing. I suppose you've heard it. And how it works, I don't know. It just prints it, it just types it all out for you. You don't got to do nothing. You go into that sort of thing.
So you're just learning how to use that. So that's typing again.
No, you don't have to type. That does it itself.
Right.
A teleprinter. Teleprinter. Like, yeah, it's like.
It's
like a computer.
It converts the Morse into teleprint.
It's a different thing to Morse. It's probably about 50 times faster than Morse.
Isn't someone typing it at the other end though?
No, on a tape. It's typed onto a tape, ticker tape type of thing. And then it's put through a machine, a transmitter, well, a keyboard, and it goes, and that's how it goes. And it goes so fast, it's so fast, it's unbelievable.
So you learnt teleprinter.
And then you've got to learn how to tune in transmitters, receivers.
So what I might call wireless or radio.
Radio.
Now, how far do they go into that? Because you're not a wireless mechanic, are you?
I mean, no.
Are you just stopping at the... like I do with this machine, at the knobs outside.
Yeah,
I can't look.
Yeah, if it goes wrong, you've got people who come in and...
So you're learning to tune it, in a sense. Was it difficult? I mean, because...
You've got to learn how to tune a transmitter, and you've got to be told. The old way was where you used to press the key down and turn your knob until it went... When it went... You was on... That was the frequency you're on. But you see, that was the thing is... You were giving your position away by holding your key down. All good stuff. But the thing is, like when I was at Admiralty, I'm just saying, it was at Admiralty, all the transmitters were at Burnham-on-Sea and places like that all around the country. But there was nothing in Admiralty itself.
Gotcha.
It was all by cable.
So you learn to tune them. Anything else you have to learn on wirelesses? I mean, could you replace a valve? I mean, because in those days, that was...
Didn't do that. Yeah,
so even if it was just a simple valve.
I mean, if you went into a radio room, the whole wall would be a bank of receivers. I mean, they're not all in use. If one went kaput, you just move to another one.
So you were just learning to tune and the rest of it. Now, any other? So wireless tuning. What else?
Well, wireless and transmitter, and also touched on to HFDF. Direction finding stuff.
Now tell that me was about that.
Well, that was
that's high frequency.
It was called Huff stuff. It was right.
High frequency direction finding.
Yeah, where to work it out. You could work out where if you're listening to a transmission, you could work out which side of the ship it is and where it is in what direction and all that sort of thing. But we didn't do a great deal of that because there was no need for it. It probably was in the war. But
anything else you're learning? In the telegraph as a wireless telegraphist.
Cryptography.
Codes.
Codes.
Now tell me about them, because there's something called the naval code, isn't there? Oh, tell me, what did you have to learn? And
well, there used to be one. What was it? One time code. Where you had a book of groups of letters, a box of five. If you only use it once. You use that and that. I can't remember a great deal of it.
It is complicated.
Cryptography is complicated. It is complicated. And then we have the top secret when I was in.
It's not now.
It's similar to the Enigma machine. Similar sort of thing. You had drums and you had to set them up different ways and put it in. By reading something on the first part of the message, then you get all your drums and you'd set them at different things and put them in and then type in what you've got and it comes out in plain English at the other end. But
so you're learning that?
Yeah, you did all that sort of thing as time went on.
Anything else? I mean, that's a fair bit to learn, in a course.
Oh, yeah.
So how long were you doing this for?
I wasn't... From 1952 till 1961.
No. I mean at Shotley.
Must have been 18 months, 2 years. 18 months.
Do you know when you left?
About 54, must be. That's what I meant, if I'd have been able.
Next time we come, we'll have a look at your naval sheet, and we'll put these dates in. So if the listener doesn't mind, we'll just let it float a bit with the dates and then put them in the cataloguing. How were you assessed during your training as a telegraphist? Do you see what I mean? I mean, it was similar
as at school. You'd have exercises, there'd be a test, and then I think you had to get something like 95% if you were writing it down by hand or typing it. You weren't allowed to make many mistakes, and that's how you was tested.
And what happens if you failed?
You did it all again. Did it all again.
You weren't binned off the course, then?
No.
So you were going to pass eventually?
Oh, yeah.
And they were determined on that?
Yeah. Because when you got to that stage, you could read Morse code, and that is just if you press the wrong key on a typewriter, it went against you. You just got to learn to type a bit better.
So how did they finish the course? That's an 18-month course.
Yeah, when you'd done all the old course, that was it, and then you was drafted all of a sudden.
Was there a final exam and passing out parade, things like that?
Oh, no, not a passing out parade. There might have been, but not as such, you know, anything dramatic. But, you see, when you were in training, all the different divisions would have an exercise like moving a barrel from A to B and all that business, and all the instructions were sent by flags and all that business, and you'd have, say, four or five divisions, or like a relay race against each other, and those sort of things.
Now, you weren't engaged in signal flags, so that'd be somebody else doing that.
That was the bunting tossers.
So that'd be their part.
It was the same division, but they were the ones who did all the flashing lights and
oldest lights and
and flags and all the bunting over the hoisting flags up and all that business.
So you would,
we had to go through all that. We had to learn semaphore and all that. But once you learnt it, you just forgot it because you didn't use it. That was the thing. But you had to learn it at one stage.
Anything else you remember about your time there? Just perhaps any personal stories or things that were funny or unfunny?
No, not really. I can't remember. You didn't have time to be bored. You were never thinking, what can I do, or anything like that, because there was always something. Even in your free time, you could rummage about and do all sorts. You'd go over the mast, or you'd go swimming.
Did they have a proper swimming test?
Yes.
Tell me about that. I should have asked you early, because I got sidetracked before.
Yeah, but you go, they assess you, you swim.
Now, could you swim before you went in the Navy?
Yes. But the thing is, their test was you had to wear a duck suit, which was a canvas suit. If you were the first one in, it was okay. But if you were right down the line, it was a wetsuit when you put it on.
You all wore the same one?
Oh, yeah, you didn't get a different one. And you had to swim so many lengths in this suit, and then tread water for so long and all this business. That's what you had to do. And if you failed it, you had to keep going early morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and the instructor over there, and you'd do it all again, and all again, and all again, until you got it right.
And did you pass first time, or did it take you a while?
I think I passed first time, actually.